Can you explain something to me?
I can try.
We were just talking about this, so I feel like this is a good time to ask you. What is cutie jail, and what is the point of cutie jail?
So it just sort of became a joke that started where, like, normally there's the meme that's like, bonk, go to horny jail.
Okay.
And so I was making the joke to somebody, and I think it was Cookie, and he was just like, we should send you to cutie jail. And then I was like, well, I can make that happen. So I found just a PNG of jail cell bars, and it's just a thing.
So it's just a joke that I'm not in on.
Yeah, it's just something that sort of happened, and then it's maintained popularity on the channel, so I've left it.
Cool. I thought it was a weird weeb thing, and I thought I would ask about it.
No, just a channel joke.
Just a weird Roya thing.
Yep.
Thank you. I was like, I don't get it. Everybody's making this joke, and it's not funny to me. I don't get it. Like, do I not get the joke?
Well, no, and it's sometimes they will use it if I am, so Andy and Jumpin'. This is all happening in my Twitch, by the way, people who are unaware. But two of my friends on Twitch will start talking sports, and I'll keep calling it sports ball and like pointing out, or I think you were there actually for one of the exchanges. And so whenever I'm being like particularly, I don't want to say necessarily annoying, but like mocking or like just being obstinate, sometimes they'll just pop up cutie jail.
I think I remember Jumpin' did that when you said you didn't know who Caitlin Clark was.
Yeah.
And I was like, even I was like, I don't know about you.
I knew who she was after it was explained. I didn't know her name. I knew the story about her, but I didn't know her name.
Well, no. Then you deserve to go to jail. I get it. But yeah. That was like the one instance that I understood it, and I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's not for me. Got it. That's all I needed to hear. You don't need to get it. It's not for you. Cool. Check. Thanks. Take it to the bank.
But yeah,
that's literally all you need to say in the future.
Okay.
I don't get it. It's not for you. Got it.
I mean, I've gotten that way when it is weeb shit and I just tell you it's weeb shit and you're like, okay, never mind.
Got it. Cool.
Oops, sorry. But how's your dance stuff going?
Look, I'm rocking and rolling. I got bruises everywhere. It's a great time. I sat down in my chair at work and hit the back of my knees with the chair because that's like, you know, how you sit. And boy, that was rough.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't love that.
Oh, is that how you found out you had bruises there?
No, because like at home, I sit like a gay person and like, my legs are constantly just folded. But when I was sitting at work, I sat down in front of people. And so it takes me a minute to like warm up to get into the bi leg fold and under position. Especially like when my boots are wet and I need to like give them a minute.
Yeah.
But no, I sat down like a normal person and went, oh, well, that sucked a little bit. But I'm getting my Jasmine. I'm wearing it. I'm getting to inverts. It's a little wild. It's a little wild out here.
Yeah. The stuff you sent me has been crazy.
I am thinking about starting like an aerial class.
Ooh.
Because I love the hoop, the lira.
Yeah.
I think that looks cool. Also, I made a friend in my class who does belly dance, and they were showing me how to do belly rolls. So I'm getting ready for this burlesque class, which is coming up. I'm just dancing through life.
I'm just going to say, like, look, if fucking Ethan and Mark can do the Lyra and all that stuff, then I have faith you can do it too.
Look, I'm working on it. I went to the gym.
Nice.
Unprovoked. Just on my own. So yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress. I'm a work in progress.
I mean, everybody's a work in progress.
No, just me.
Okay, sorry. You're the only one
as
allowed,
we learned with my Capricorn Mars.
You're the only one allowed to do anything at any given time. Got it.
Got it. Thank you. It's not for you. You don't need to get it. That's the theme of today's episode. I hope you're ready for me to say it's not for you about 400 times because I already feel it. I feel it inside of me.
Well, I hope that you have I hope that you have ample opportunities to use it within the episode as we go.
I hope so too.
Welcome to The Strange and Unusual, where we discuss the strange and unusual. This is episode 187 of our series, seeking out the weird, the unexplained, and the devious from around the world. I'm Roya.
I'm Casey.
And the Patreon voted, and so now we are here with mountain stories. Specifically, I picked the Appalachians. So you can find us on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, Threads, at some variety of Strange and Unusual podcast, as well as Patreon at patreon.com/strangeandunusual, where you can find polls like this that we do once a month. You can also find old bonus episodes, as well as moderate early access, sometimes just a few hours, sometimes a little bit more, depending on how much time and effort the editing takes me. But we would love to see you over there. And hang out, and access to our Discord. I just had Discord pop up to remind me. Access to our Discord as well, over on Patreon. So, wee-woos. I mean, it's nothing super serious. Spooky shit, personal story time, and me mispronouncing things, probably.
The usual.
Yeah. I mean, the usual for me would be murder, which there is not any...
Well, I meant particularly about me mispronouncing.
That's kind of just a thing for the podcast in general, I think, at this point.
Oh, I did ask. We were trying to get AJ to play some banjo in the background for us, but he's washing dishes like a good husband.
Nice. So Casey and I didn't grow up where we currently live. I was actually born in Athens, Georgia, and we moved to Roanoke, Virginia, where when I was 2 or 3, and we lived there until I was 9, almost 10. And I grew up on a mountain in the middle of the Appalachian Mountain, right in the Blue Ridge section in Virginia. And Casey's from Pennsylvania, so there's also a mix there, too. And today I'm taking us back to our roots with cryptids, myths, legends, and scary things you might run into in the mountains. Just remember, if you saw something, no you didn't, and avoid going out into the woods from dusk until dawn. Now why, you might ask? Don't worry, I'm going to tell you about all the things that I found that I didn't even know about, and a few things that I did. So one of the stories that I found came out of a small town in Tennessee called Pressman's Home. It was a union town, which is something pretty common, especially in the heart of the blue collar world of Appalachia. Basically a labor union would come in and, a city would just sort of pop up around them or a town would pop up around them. And then if the labor union moved, like the cases with Pressman's Home, the labor union moved out of the area in the 60s and pretty much left it abandoned, just a ghost town that led to rural teens around the area doing what rural teens do, which is run amok. And well, not at this time, at least not meth.
It's like drugs,
but running amok, going into all these abandoned houses and buildings, and you know, trying to scare each other, looking for the scary things. You know, doing the whole like cemetery at midnight bullshit the teens do. The woman in the article who was left unnamed said that one night she was driving up to go. To go look for some scary things, you know, with her friends and stuff, when something scary actually found her. She said it ran out in front of her car and stopped to look directly at her. She couldn't figure out what she was looking at. It kind of looked like a dog or maybe a coyote with mange, but the longer she looked at it, the weirder the animal got. She said that it walked on all fours but used its knuckles like a primate, so it didn't walk like on the pads of its feet.
Interesting.
It had a snout that made her think of a dog, but it also had a hairless pink tail like a possum.
Ooh, that's so cute.
In recounting the story to other Tennesseans, some began to think that she came face to face with a local cryptid called a wampus beast.
Love that.
Now, I couldn't find anything specifically about a wampus beast, but I did find a wampus cat. So, known sometimes as the Whistling Wampus, or my personal favorite, the Galley Wampus.
I've heard Catawampus before.
Yeah. This feline cryptid stalks through the Appalachian Mountains from dusk till dawn. The history of the creature is a bit muddled, some finding roots in Cherokee myth, which I'll talk about more after I get done with all the white people shit. And some say it's a punishment or due to being involved with witches, since witches were often associated with cats and or shapeshift. So back in December of 1918, there were numerous sightings of the Wampus Cat, and those accounts persisted and were carried through generations. Years later, it was blamed for a string of livestock and animal deaths in the Norfolk area, indiscriminately consuming dogs, pigs, and other farm animals. Some consider that the creature might belong to a species of big cats that were once thought to be long extinct, but like many other cryptids, there's no hard evidence to prove that they're actually real. The descriptions of the Wampus Cat are different from the beast I mentioned before, the Wampus Beast, where this is much more clearly feline. Mm-hmm. With a face like a bobcat, sharp, elongated claws and fangs, and glowing yellow eyes that can see through the darkness of the mountains. The creature is muscular and covered in dark matted fur and has a long, sinuous tail for balance and agility, as well as six legs.
Six legs. Yeah. Got it. You know, for, you know, those people who are like, man, if I just had an extra set of hands, mm-hmm. this cat's got it. Jealous.
That's not for us.
Not for you.
The sightings
Jackson,
are
Jackson only has three legs.
Yeah, he's below average already, mm-hmm. and definitely below average for a Wampus Cat. So I think you're safe. I think he's not a Wampus Cat.
Or he's half Wampus Cat. You don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not for you.
Sightings are normally within densely wooded or remote areas, and witnesses have reported growing feelings of unease and an overwhelming sense of being watched just before encountering the creature. The Gallywampus is known for its blood-curdling screams, considered to be a method to attract prey or ward off threats, with the idea being that someone would think that it was like an injured person or maybe like a scared child and would try to approach it to help. And then instead it's a Gallywampus. Some legends suggest that it can even become invisible or shapeshift. It's also it's also a monster in D&D.
I was going to say, cats do allegedly mimic the sound of children to make you wake up and deal with them.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that isn't surprising that they would make a noise to make somebody come help.
Yeah. So the Cherokee legend I found more about finally. So there's this demon called Iwa, known as the spirit of mad. So Iwa was a terrible sight to behold and could drive even the bravest men mad just by looking at. So the tribe came together and said that it was time to do something about this demon who was feeding on the dreams of their children. That's how he eats. And they decided that their strongest warrior should go and honor his family and tribe by slaying the demon. The man chosen was named Standing Bear, or sometimes Great Fellow, depending on the version of the oration that's being told. He was the strongest, fastest, sneakiest, smartest, and most respected warrior in the village. He was blessed by the shamans and took the weapons that were given to him to go and slay the demon. One stop was made at the edge of the village, though, to bid farewell to his wife, named Running Deer, before he left. Weeks went by, and Standing Bear hadn't returned, until one night he finally came running back, screaming and clawing at his eyes. The man Running Deer had loved was no more, and while eventually he would be able to help the village again, he would never be a fit husband for her again.
Oh.
Running Deer had loved her husband, and she wanted revenge on the demon who took him from her. She went to the shamans, and they gave her a mask of a bobcat's face, and told her that the spirit of the mountain cat was something that could stand against Iwa, but she had to catch the demon by surprise first. She was also given a special black paste to rub over her body that would hide her scent as well as her shape in the dark forest, so she could sneak up on him better. She began her pursuit of Iwa, running for many days with no sign of him. Finally, she heard a creature stalking by a stream and snuck up toward him. There was a twig that snapped behind her. She spun around, terrified to see the face of Iwa and meet the same fate a standing bear, but luckily it was a fox playing a cruel joke on her. She saw footprints at the edge of the water and some of the things her husband had left the village with, and then she saw the demon. He was hunched over and drinking from the spring. Running Deer crept over to him and sprang, scaring him, and her cat mask caused his magic to affect him instead. The Iwa stumbled back, and Running Deer raced home, never looking back at the demon. She made it home and was hailed a hero, was named Spirit Walker and Home Protector, and the legend continues that the Wampus Cat is actually the spirit of Running Deer prowling the mountains to ensure her ancestral lands remain free of the influence of the Iwa as well as other Cherokee-related demons.
I feel like that gives a good for her.
I know, yeah. So let's keep going with beasts of the Appalachians, and we will talk about the devil monkeys of Virginia. You heard about the monkeys?
Of course I've heard of the devil monkeys of Virginia. I don't know a lot about them, but I've heard of them.
So according to legend, they are malevolent and dangerous creatures that actively prey on humans.
They are devil monkeys.
Yeah, it is like kind of in the name. Yeah. They are said to stand between 3 and 5 feet tall, though I saw some pages that were saying they stand as tall as 8 feet, which is fucking terrifying. And are ape-like creatures with powerful legs, 3 toed feet, sharp talons, and a thick tail. They're known to be incredibly strong and agile, and move quickly through the tops of the trees, which is mainly where they spend most of their time. There have been reports of the devil monkeys attacking and killing both livestock and humans in and around the woods. They draw attention by making noises and getting the person to look up. And that's when they attack, leaping down on the unsuspecting victim on the forest floor. They are also reported to move both on their back legs and on all fours, as well as swinging from branch to branch, Tarzan style. The only way to avoid them is to pretend you don't see them. Going back to the first rule of the woods, if you think you saw something, no you didn't. But if you ever come face to face with a devil monkey, definitely don't run.
Just chill. Just hang.
Yeah, just back away slowly and don't acknowledge them.
Like I do when I see people I know out in public.
I was gonna say, like Casey, go into the grocery store.
If I see you, no, I didn't.
So Mothman isn't the only big-time cryptid of West Virginia. A lesser known but still fun little guy is the Flatwoods Monster, also known as the Phantom of Flatwoods, the Braxton County Monster, and adorably, just Braxy.
Braxy, I love that.
They were first seen in Braxton County, West Virginia on September 12th, 1952. A bright light streaked across the sky, and over years, investigators have suggested that the bright light was just a meteor and the creature was just a barn owl, but that's exactly what they want us to think.
That's right. It's not for you.
Or maybe, on September 12th, brothers Edward and Fred May, along with their friend Tommy Heyer, saw a bright object cross the sky and land on a local farm. The brothers went home and got their mother, Kathleen May, and told her their story. Then the four set out toward the hill and were joined by 2 younger children, Neil Nunley and Ronnie Shaver, as...
I was stuck on Nunley and then Ronnie Shaver came into the chat. Like,
as well as West Virginia National Guardsman Eugene Lemon.
Checks out.
Banger names all around. As they crested the hill, they found a pulsing red light, and when Lemon aimed his flashlight at it, they saw a tall, quote, man-like figure with a round red face surrounded by a pointed hood-like shape, end quote. More people began to sight Braxy in the wild of West Virginia. For example, Gray Barker reported seeing them and said that they were 10 feet tall with a round blood red face, large pointed hood-like shape around their face, eyes, eye-like shapes, which emitted a greenish-orange light, and a black or green body.
I need like pictures of this. Is it Braxy with an X or a CKS?
With an X.
Oh no, I've seen this guy.
Yeah.
I think he's on that cryptid wrapping paper.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. You know what this thing kind of looks like?
What?
And I don't know that you're going to know this reference, but you might, because I don't know how much Zelda you've played. But in Majora's Mask, there's like a part where Link has to go to the ranch and kill the aliens on the farm.
Uh-huh.
Braxy looks like one of those aliens.
A little bit, yeah. I can see where you're saying.
Oh my god. I just looked up them Majora's Mask and it was a picture of Braxy.
So one of the brothers described Braxy as having small claw-like hands, clothing like folds, and a head resembling the Ace of Spades. Keep in mind, the brothers are like 13 and 10 or something like that. So
okay,
they're
I was
little.
Gonna ask.
Yeah.
Is this like the
like 13
the little
and
gray men story where they were like adult children who were just shooting guns at?
No, it was like a 13 and 11 year old are the two brothers, and then Tommy was 10, and then I think Nunley and Shaver were like 6 or something, and then Lemon was 17, and Kathleen's like the only adult. They all reported the figure making a hissing sound as Braxy, quote, glided toward the group, end quote. Lemon dropped his flashlight and screamed, which caused the group to run away. They also reported a pungent mist, and later they started feeling kind of nauseated. The local sheriff and deputy began investigating the reports of the crash, and with a search of the site, quote, saw, heard, and smelled nothing, end quote.
Hmm.
Like.
Yeah, that sounds convenient.
Elise A. Lee Stewart, like A, like a first initial, complicated way to start a sentence.
Not Elise.
No.
Got
also
it.
Not A. Lee, like, you know, the Lee. So he is a journalist and claimed to discover skid marks on the field and an odd gummy deposit, which were attributed by UFO enthusiast groups as being evidence of a landing.
Look, I'm just saying, in Kingdom Hearts, it is called a gummy ship. Coincidence?
It all goes back to video games. Holt Byrne, a former news editor, after running the story, said that it was picked up and carried through the country, resulting in hundreds of phone calls about Braxy, and actually came up as being like the 11th highest talked about story for the year, which this is 1952, and this was the 11th highest story.
That one is for you.
Huh?
I said this story is for you.
A minister from Brooklyn even came out to question the May family. A paper from Pittsburgh sent out a special reporter, and UFO writers like Gray Barker and Ivan Sanderson began to investigate. When the case was reinvestigated in 2000, it was of course concluded that the light was a meteor, the pulsing red light was likely an aircraft navigation or hazard beacon, and the creature was an owl. And with all of these things and their heightened sense of anxiety, it distorted what they were seeing. So basically, they were all already scared, and when they came up onto the hill, they saw a big owl that flew at them, and they all got more scared.
I mean, I don't think so.
This conclusion is shared by a number of other investigators and the Air Force, which makes me not believe it.
Yep, exactly.
And on September 12th, 1952, there had been a meteor visible over Maryland, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. And the area of the sighting at the hill, there were 3 red flashing aircraft beacons that could lay credence to this, but I want to believe.
You baby.
The shape and movement of Braxy is also in line with a startled barn owl. And the group disagreeing over if Braxy had arms or didn't was further proof to skeptics, because a suggestion that it had small claw-like hands could be attributed to the owl's legs and talons as it was flying toward them, looking more like hands than legs at the angle.
Hmm.
And there's some conspiracy theories, too, on it that I didn't actually write down because I couldn't find a ton about them. But there was, like, conspiracy theories that, so the skid marks and rubber gummy goo stuff, there was this teen who was driving his truck, and he had also seen the meteor and came out to check it out. after the family did, and he said that that stuff was probably could have been from his truck. What's gummy and comes off of a truck? I don't know. Seems gross. Get that checked out.
Like dried up grease or something?
Maybe. But, and then there was reports that two of the reporters that went to the site were actually CIA undercover and had removed things from the site before the police got there.
Will Smith was there.
So I also found a list of like superstitions and rules if you're ever in Appalachia and want to know what you should or shouldn't do, aside from if you saw something, no, you didn't. And that's just the rule for, I think, most of the people, especially the rural people that live out there. And avoiding the woods from dusk till dawn, which is honestly just a good idea, especially if you're not familiar with the area. But things like never close a knife you didn't open, or you'll have bad luck for 7 years. Keep a penny in your washer. Don't wash clothes on New Year's Day, or you'll wash a family member out. Don't walk under a ladder. If you find yourself under one, don't turn and instead back up.
Isn't that everywhere?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I heard don't walk under a ladder, but I had never heard like to back up instead of just continuing or turning around or whatever. Don't let anyone sweep under your feet. If a bad
you can't really. If I'm standing, unless you mean like if I'm sitting down.
I think that's what they're hanging. I think that's what they're meaning. Like picking your feet up to let someone vacuum underneath your feet.
Gotcha.
If a bad storm is coming, put a two-edged axe into a stump facing the storm to ensure the storm goes around you, like you're splitting the storm. Don't cut your baby's hair before their first birthday.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Don't let a pregnant woman see a dead person or the baby will have a birthmark.
Okay.
Hold your breath when you pass a cemetery or you'll be the next to die, which I remember that one when I was like in school.
The pregnant one is coming to me just now. I just read this book called House of Cotton, and the author is Afro-Latchin, so she's a black woman from Appalachia, and she mentions that in her book. She says that the grandmother was mad at her mother for going to see her father at the funeral because she was pregnant.
Huh.
Damn. Okay. I know that.
If you're walking with someone and you have to go... Oh, yeah. If you're walking with someone, you have to go on the same side of a post or an obstacle or it'll break your friendship.
Oh, that explains a lot. I'm an Aquarius, so I always go on the other side of the post.
Never leave a rocking chair rocking or you'll invite spirits. Which I'd heard that one, too. I'd heard that one and the knife one. So now the last one I wanted to talk about is something that I haven't particularly found a name for, but it seems to exist across multiple cultures and different histories and backgrounds. Things like seeing people from your family where they shouldn't be, a cousin at the edge of the woods, but you know he's in the house and didn't leave. Your mom calling your name, but you know she's at work. Finding strange buildings or things that are out of place, like a clearing or a building that's been abandoned from the outside, but is pristine on the inside somehow still.
Stairs in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Spirits are often attributed to these strange circumstances, not unlike fae creatures of Europe. They're trying to lure you in to respond to them, to encourage further interaction, to agree that your name was just called. You hear a hey call out to you when you're in the woods alone. What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what I did when it happened to me as a kid. I actually had two of these things happen to me. I found a strange space in the woods, and I heard someone call out. I've actually found several strange places in the woods over my years of living. But the one that sticks out to me so much is, so when I was growing up, I literally, like I said, I lived on a mountain in the middle of the Blue Range section of the Appalachians. All of the houses had thick woods on at least one side of them, if not multiple. I was also a really big tomboy growing up because the kids around me that were my age were all boys. So if I wanted to have anyone to play with, I had to learn how to play their games. One of the things I would do was make bike trails through the woods behind my house. and one day we were riding through them, and my friend bounced off the path, landed, and just started screaming. My mind reeled. I was like, fuck, he broke his arm or something. We're gonna be in so much trouble. We weren't supposed to be this far out in the woods. You know, like, I...
Like, maybe there was a reason for that.
Yeah. I found him and not... So I found him and not a foot off the path was this big round clearing that was not there 2 days before when I was working on the bike path. And inside the circular clearing was an additional circle of rocks in the middle, like someone had built a fire.
A little fairy circle.
Yeah.
Don't go in the circle.
And, huh?
I was thinking, like, if I saw that, I would immediately go in that circle. I was not a smart child.
It's fun. I thought you meant now, and I was like, yeah, I mean, can it be worse
than... I mean, now, yeah, of course, but... now it's like I'm 34 and God, any day now, please.
And so we were not so rural up there that there would have been hikers or something. Like, we're in a neighborhood. I could see my house from where we were, and it wasn't like some campers had made a fire. And like I said, it hadn't been there when I was working on the trail before. So we very quickly returned home after I was like, I didn't do this, because he was trying to say that I had done it to try to scare him. And I'm like, yeah, I chopped down all the trees to make this circle, this perfectly concentric circle in the middle of the woods. I did this, yes, 100% for sure, definitely. And so I feel like I should say, so my backyard growing up sloped like kind of gently into the woods. My neighbors on the other side of the street, they had like no backyard. It just sloped down into like a valley, basically. And so they didn't have very much backyard growing up at all. And so when the hay happened, we were again playing in the woods and we were way further away than we were supposed to be, playing down in the valley with the creek. We found weird shit too while we were down there. We found these old school lockers just in the middle of the woods, not around a school, not around anything.
Yeah, of course not.
Like, no reason.
Why would they be there?
Yeah, no reason for them to be here. And they still had stuff in them. Like, you could still open them, and there were like books in them and notebooks in them and all sorts of stuff. I mean, they were definitely
free books, baby.
They were definitely like rotting, and like the elements were affecting them, but they were still there.
Mm-hmm.
Along with a paddle for corporal punishment, which is a little funny now because we had no idea what the fuck it was because none of us had ever seen one. So we're like, what is this wood stick with holes drilled in it? Like,
sure, that's what it's for, Roya. It's not for you.
There you
don't
go.
Get it. It's not for you.
So when we heard someone call out hey from down the tree line, and if no one has seen videos or TikToks or anything, I mean, I would recommend, if you want a little bit of a, you know, hair on the back of your neck stand up kind of deal, check some out. But it just sounds like the most basic male voice just kind of casually saying hey. Like, not urgent, not scary, not intimidating, just like a hey. And immediately after we heard that, we realized how late it was getting. The sun was setting. It was almost like we had been there longer than we realized, like, mm-hmm. in an instant. But I'll tell you what you do when someone calls out hey, or you find something weird in the woods, or a loved one that shouldn't be there when you know they shouldn't be. You run the fuck away. Unless it's
you don't
the monkeys.
Turn around and go, hey,
yeah.
You're back.
Yeah, that's the thing that they talk about, is like that you're, it's the same thing of like the idea of the fae in Europe trying to learn your name, because names have power. Mm-hmm. So by encouraging it to engage with you, you are opening yourself up to it.
Am I the Shane of this group right now?
Maybe.
Are you the Bugara and I'm Shane?
Maybe. I mean, they
would be like, hey.
But they
hey there, demons. It's me, your boy.
All right.
Goat man gonna cross your bridge.
Oh my god, I saw the meanest burn on their YouTube video was, you guys should go give Goatman his bridge back. You don't deserve it.
Damn. Have they acknowledged that at all?
Just... No, nothing yet. People are kind of speculating that it'll be tomorrow if they say anything.
I haven't watched the video. I was like, that's a long video. I'm not watching it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not great. But it's one of those, like, you remember when they did the announcement with the Try Guys about Ned? And Eugene just looks, like, visibly angry the whole time?
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is just a video of Shane looking very uncomfortable the whole video.
Oh.
So, the current theory is that Steven said, I want to do this. Shane said, absolutely not, we shouldn't do this. And then Ryan was the either deciding factor, or Ryan also said no, but because Steven is like the CEO, what he says happens. So that it definitely,
like, theories.
It definitely seems like Shane was not into the idea, just based on body language and like facial expressions.
Gotcha.
Like he's
a weird little guy though. He can be hard to read.
He can be, but this was pretty, like, his okay. Body language was like legs crossed away from them. Like he just looked so done with the whole conversation the whole time. And he actually encouraged password sharing.
I love an anti-capitalist queen, Shane Madej.
But
wow, that.
Yeah,
this is gonna be, I feel like this is gonna be cut and put in a Patreon exclusive rant section.
Like, I mean, maybe I know a lot of the people who listen to us, I think there's probably a lot of cross viewership between the two.
But yeah, that's I was just realizing, I'm like, no, I'm gonna be like, hey, and you're like, run away. And I was like, this is our Shane and Ryan moment right wrong. Here. I'm gonna jump in the circle of rocks.
And I hope I go to some fae world.
Fuck me up.
Start quoting the labyrinth out here.
Dance. Magic dance.
But yeah, so that was what I found. I was gonna, you know, I was looking at things. I was like I told you, I was looking at doing the Bell Witch and adding her onto the end, but there was a ton about her. And definitely enough to warrant her own episode. And then I figured Mothman, kind of same deal. So I wanted to talk about some of the lesser known Appalachian creatures and stories.
Well, I did find a picture of them from Zelda. And yeah, it is. They apparently were based off Braxy.
Oh, that would make sense.
But if you look at the picture, you're like, whoa, okay, no, that is literally what they are. Little glowy guys. They're little weird little hands.
Yeah.
Yep. Wrong colors.
Yeah, but definitely the inspiration.
But the
is
vibe
there.
Is there.
Yeah.
I'm trying and if to... they only had the black and white photo picture.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand, like, what brown green is.
Like poo.
Yeah. That's the color I haven't figured out what a greenish brown or a brownish green light would be.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for joining us today as we discussed what to do if you're ever in the Appalachian Mountains. Play a banjo, drink some corn whiskey, and run away.
And make sure you stay on the trails as they are marked, because if they are closed, there's a reason for that.
I've also heard, so this is a side note, I've heard that if people go missing and like, or say they saw something and they like report it to park rangers, the park rangers generally don't do anything.
I mean.
Or they know like, what's the thing they are supposed to go help with and what is it they're not. So somebody, if you could like confirm or deny that, but I think it's probably like confidential shit. Anyway, now we want to hear from you. So send us your stories, your questions, your feedback, and your information on the Appalachian Park Rangers to strangeunusualpodcast @gmail.com. If you are sending a story, we just ask that you put listener story in the subject line so that we can sort through those a little more easily. Have you ever had an experience in the Appalachians?
Yeah, or any other mountain range?
We definitely want to know. I think where I grew up was right on the northern, just the tip. And we were talking about this earlier when I was, you know, talking to AJ about playing banjo for this episode. That where I lived, I didn't, like, Appalachian wasn't what they were called. It was Appalachian.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, that's wrong. That you guys are cut off. You're not allowed to have this anymore. It's like, okay. But I was like, that's just how it was pronounced where I grew up. And I was like, I didn't, when somebody was saying Appalachian, I was like, what the fuck are you saying?
Yeah. Trying to remember. I'm pretty sure it was Appalachian for us.
I mean, most places down here. I said that's above a Mason-Dixon, so it doesn't count.
But yeah, I was looking up the, because I was like, where does the mountain range actually end? Because I didn't, I was like, couldn't remember if it was in Pennsylvania. It goes all the way up to Maine.
Yep.
And I was like, damn, that's a big mountain range. But yeah, do you have any stories of your family meeting Braxy or any other cryptids? Literally any others. Please tell us.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be an Appalachian cryptid.
No. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads at @strange_unusual_podcast. Our personal accounts, Roya Rampage and Calamity Casey. You can find us on X at _strangeunusual, @CalamityCasey, and @RoyaRampage. We're also on Facebook. Just search for the Strange Unusual Podcast and look for our logo. I am also streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/RoyaRampage. If you'd like, you can also come and join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/strangeunusual. Like I said before, we have access to our Discord, access to be able to vote for episodes like this, where we give you guys some options and you can select which one. Old bonus episodes and slightly early access. Sometimes more or less slightly than others.
I cannot speak to this. I'm only there for the ride.
But if you are unable to support us financially, we totally understand. Shit's still so fucking expensive. But if you can, just rate, review, subscribe, share us with your friends, share us with Braxy, let them know that we love and respect them, and we'd love to hang out with them sometime.
Mad respect. Mad respect to Robert the Doll. Still, mad respect.
But
to this day.
Yeah, but it helps with our algorithms. It helps, you know, us get in front of more people with more engagement like that. So we really appreciate it.
Yep. Next week, baby, back to the Daybell trial. Aren't you so excited?
I am.
It's so much.
Oh, no. You're like, it'll just be a quick little episode. And it's like,
it'll just be a real. Yeah, it'll just be a quick and dirty update. False. There are 6 pages on everything that happened in between the 2 trials, and I want to die.
It'll be good, though. Everybody likes
it. It's going to be. Did they?
Yeah. It's some of our highest episodes.
It's just me walking you through step by step what happens in the game in the freaking trial. And then they said this, and then this person said this, and then John Thomas, that fucking clown, said this. I think people were there, like, listening to hear me talk shit about John Thomas, the clown. But anyway, more on that next week.
Bye.
Bye.